please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is your host, James T. Deshaies of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, people, you know I'm always so happy to be here and have the opportunity to share discussions with you, and today is like no other. And so we're looking forward to finding out what everybody is on everybody's mind with all these great and crazy things going around in our society.
And never let the city good.
This is your host, James T. Deshay of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I wanted to come and talk to you today about there's a major trial going on in Georgia related to a father who accidentally left his son in the car as he went to work. Normally, he takes there are times when he takes his son to the daycare. And he has a routine down, but this particular day, he had his son in the back of his back of the car, and he forgot him and went on to work. And his son was in the car for more than 7 hours. Now, this is something that happens periodically throughout the country. A number of babies are killed every year because parents forget them in the car. But for some reason, the state of Georgia has determined that this man did this on purpose and that he had somehow or another decided that he wanted to have a single life back and that he intentionally left his son in the car so that he would no longer have the responsibility of children. And I just wanted to talk to everybody about, you know, how difficult that would be to prove or how horrific it would be to be in that situation when you love a child and care about a child and somehow gets falsely accused of doing something like being able to purposely leave your child in a car. And I heard some of the things that some of the police officers said who were on the scene finally found the child. And they talked about how he just didn't seem to be unhappy. You know, and that always scares me when people start categorizing how people should behave or people should act when a tragedy has taken place. You know, so many people act differently under pressure. And if you cry too much, they say the tears are made up. If you don't cry enough, you're not unhappy. That just seems to be a catch-22 in all these situations where people are trying to derive what it is you feel related to a tragic incident, or specifically what you're supposed to ask. It seems like the police have a checklist of what it is you're supposed to say, what question you're supposed to ask, and what kind of emotions you're supposed to have. But when you have these type of drawn out rules related to what people are supposed to feel, there are going to be people who are innocent who don't react the way you think they should. So I think it's real hard and difficult to determine exactly how a person should act or behave based on a set script or a set of rules when we have so many different people in our country with so many different human characteristics. So I find it a little odd. I think we need to be careful when these tragic accidents happen that we somehow don't find ourselves prosecuting people who just genuinely did not behave the way our rule book suggested. And you have to ask yourself, what real benefit could it have been for a man to just want to be without a child again? Certainly, millions and millions of men walk away from their families and change their lifestyles without the need of having to kill their spouse or kill any of their children. So it's kind of odd that he would select this kind of way to make this happen. We have to really search ourselves and ask ourselves, do these kind of things happen every year? If there's anybody we are falsely accusing of doing it on purpose. We're going to take another little short break as we wait for the callers to come in. And I want to let you all know, I am constantly writing things. I would love to get your opinion on the things that I write. Last night I wrote The Journey of Life, and I'm going to play it as I recite it to you. And ask you to give me a call at 407-394-9819 or email me at djames82@aol.com or go on my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay.com. And let me know what you think. I write a lot, so it'll be a lot of things on my website that you can read, and I'd love to get your comment.
Just a thought. October 5th, 2016. As the journey of life travels the barren roads of love and romance, searching to appease the hunger of connections, we are forced to turn over the fruitless ground of ugliness and disconnection. No disappointment can be allowed to make us surrender that which is an endless crusade to discover love, leaving us the most vulnerable to forces that refuse to acknowledge the value of our internal spirit. We open ourselves up to the greatest pain and the emptiness of rejection by desiring the taste of the forbidden fruit of the sweet apple of love. It quenches the thirst of lust in unknown ways, leaving our lungs useless. Desiring to engulf that which embodies all that drives you beyond compulsion to a place where no is no longer an option. Your fears are absent and your determination knows no bounds. You want what makes you feel priceless. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. I look forward to you being on my show and listening to your opinions. Your opinions will be heard loud and clear. Thank you.
it when I said I didn't love you so. I should have held on tight, I never should have let you go. I didn't know nothing, I was stupid, I was foolish, I was lying to myself. I could not fathom that I would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything.
James T. DeShay, the host of Talks, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We were discussing a father that is on trial today in Georgia for leaving his son in the car as he went to work, accidentally left his son in the car. And we're just talking about how the law officials go about deciding who they will prosecute and who they believe that truly just accidentally left their child in the car. And this man has gone through a traumatic experience where he is now divorced from his wife, now on trial for his life before this accident. And a lot of it is the police construing some of his behavior as strange when it comes to some of the daily things that he did or his responses to the fact that his son has died. And it's just amazing that they don't understand that people don't react the same. And when you try to bring the same rules to the table for everybody, you're going to make some mistakes, and you're going to convict some innocent people. So it's important that we recognize and don't try to put everybody in the same basket related to how they should behave or react emotionally to a set of circumstances. I find it difficult to understand how they go about determining who they're going to prosecute when there are a number of cases every year where people forget their children in the car. I know that there have been many times when I've driven, gotten into my car, and I've put my life on autopilot and arrived in places that I didn't intend to go. So I do believe and understand that it's possible to put your child in the car and forget your child is back there, especially if that child goes to sleep and doesn't make any noise. Now, I want to just put forth some things that I've heard over time. They say what you should do is put something very important that you have to have throughout your day in your back seat with the child, so therefore you will remember that your child is back there if the child happens to fall asleep. You know, this is a very chaotic situation, and I really hate for this parent to find himself being convicted if he truly did not do this on purpose. I'm sure that, you know, in some cases when parents do make accidents, they can be construed as somehow not using the proper behaviors or plans related to your child, and you can still be convicted even though it's accident. So we'll have to see exactly how this story plays out. But it is definitely interesting related to the fact that they have selected this man as the one that they're going to send a message to the general public. We're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back and finish our discussion.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Let's kind of shift gears a little bit. You know, they had the vice president debate yesterday, and you had the two vice president candidates going at each other. trying to make some headway and helping the presidential candidate to gain some ground or to extend their lead. And though I think both of the gentlemen fared well, Pence did seem to get the upper hand, but it doesn't matter because I think truly that Hillary Clinton will be victorious. I'm looking at the fact that she has extended her lead nationwide to 6 points. She has some battleground states that she's ahead in, and she is able to fight in those that she's behind. And I think the only state that she's behind in is Ohio. So I'm really looking forward to the next debate on Sunday. And I think if she does as well on Sunday as she did in the first debate, that she will easily win the president of the United States. And that will be good for everybody. I truly don't want to live in a United States that votes Donald Trump in as president of the United States. I see we got a few people on the line. We're going to go to our phone line. Miss Regina, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Regina. I wanted to let you know you're one of the only one of the team that's here today. I wanted to let you know that I'm doing very well. It's about 6:30, and I have done real well today with my fast, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning and seeing how much weight I may have reduced. I am down 13.4 pounds overall, and we're looking at trying to get down to by 60 pounds by January. So I got a long ways to go, but I'm headed in the right direction. So I just wanted to let you know that since you're the only one online today. But I wanted to ask you, were you aware of the fact that there is, I'm going to go back since you didn't get the opportunity to hear it, but had you heard about the story of the father in Georgia who's on trial for leaving his son in the car while he was at work?
Yes. I remember when it happened.
Yeah, it did. I think it happened maybe over a year and a half ago.
If it was
and
that long, it may not have been that long.
Their thought was is that he somehow wanted to be single again and did not want the responsibility of having a child. And, some of the things they came up with, like he wasn't crying at the right times. He didn't seem, one of the statements was that one lady said that, well, you know, when my father died, I didn't want to leave the body, and he left the child's body so quickly, so he wasn't concerned. One of the things I question, though, Regina, is when you have a set of rules about how people are supposed to behave, if they're genuinely in grief, then that leads to charging people who may genuinely just don't behave that way. Everybody does not behave the same way under strict pressure. So if I don't react the way you got the script written, then does that mean that I might be charged with a crime because I didn't act in an appropriate fashion? What are your thoughts?
You know, people act in different ways for different situations. For example, I, because I've been involved in the funeral home business for so long, I don't grieve immediately, and I'm usually the go-to person when something happens. You know, if it's a situation where someone is dying, or after someone has died, you know, a lot of times I'll tell the family to, you know, I'll stay here until the funeral home comes and help them to prepare the body. The family feels better because I'm there. A friend is there with their loved one. If you look at my actions or my reactions and as atypical, then you would put me on trial also. So I'm not sure if you can use someone's actions or the psychology of reactionary behavior as a definite way of you know, putting someone on trial.
Yeah, and they seem to have all these different questions and reactions. They got written down as part of a script to make their determination. And sometimes it's like, if you cry too much, then, he's overreacting. He's acting. Or you don't cry enough, or you just don't make the right movements, or you may ask for a drink, it's a whole playbook that they use to read the emotions of people when there are millions and millions of people, and people react to different things in different ways. Like you said, people who have had a experience with death certainly may be more stronger in terms of holding back their tears. I know that I get very emotional very quickly when it comes to death or things that bring sadness. So therefore, you know, they may seem to say, well, he's overreacting. You know, he's not acting like the normal man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, people get questioned about their behaviors because these people have these written in stone reactions about how people are supposed to behave. I find that this man, that has to be the most horrific thing in the world to happen to a father, is to have some direct responsibility for the death of their child.
Well, I just really, from the very beginning, I could not see how anyone could have thought that that is what he meant to happen. But then I can see how they would question his not remembering that the child was in the back seat of the car. But then I can understand, because as I've said maybe times before, when I was driving 40-something miles to work, I put my daughter in the car in the morning. She'd fall asleep before I would get to the babysitter, and I'd find myself 40-something miles up the road at my school, and my baby's still in the car. Then I'd have to enlist the help of someone or people that I knew in the area to take care of her that day, because she was so quiet. So
right.
I can see both sides. I just would not want to be the defense or the prosecution. I just wouldn't want to be in that situation.
And I do understand how the prosecution has to make sure that this is not a way for people to get away from their responsibility of their children and send a message that, you know, they're not going to take it lightly or just take it for granted that it was an accident. But it's just a horrific way for somebody to behave. I cannot imagine what it would be like, how cruel it would be to let a child bake in a car in that fashion. We all know that children, because they can't communicate the way they like, to be tied into a car seat unable to save yourself has to be just a inhumane way to die. And for anybody, any parent, to plan for that to be the way for them to kill their child just seems to be unbelievable.
Well, the thing with that is, if they're saying that he wanted to be single again, he still had a wife. So that would not have made him not single. So I'm not sure if that
his ex-wife is supposed to testify now. I don't know why they decided to get a divorce, but I can see that as being something traumatic to a woman that, you know, again, you know, a lot of times women find it difficult to maintain relationships with their husbands when children's deaths are involved as responsible by that parent, or she is raped and she's unable to carry on as a wife. So I've heard of those things happening. So I'm not sure what it is that destroyed the makeup of this family. But she is said to be testifying that she didn't believe her husband would have intentionally harmed their child.
Exactly. In the beginning, that's what she was saying. In the beginning, that's what she was saying. She didn't. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go on. I was just finishing up.
I was just saying in the beginning that's all I kept hearing her say, that she didn't believe her husband would do that. Now, I don't know if they were in the process of a divorce at that time, but I know that I heard her say she did not believe that her husband would have hurt the child.
Well, I don't think they were in a divorce at that time. I think it's just the mental issues she had related to losing that child. I think that was their first child, and I can imagine a mother of a small child, you thinking about a lifelong commitment in your head to this child, and all of a sudden you lose this child in this fashion, has to be a very horrific thing to have to deal with on a personal level.
Yeah, that has to be traumatic.
Well, we're going to take another short break. We're going to come back and talk to you about what kind of preparations everybody is making for this hurricane that's coming through. I think it's a hurricane. Is it Matthew? Or what is the name of the hurricane?
Matthew.
Okay, I got it right. So we're going to come back after this break and discuss what's going on with Matthew as he sets his sights on the United States.
Touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. Got cause to be There's a name for it. There's a phrase that's it. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it.
Shay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We have Matthew bearing down on the United States. It looks like it has the possibility of coming very, very close to the state of Florida, and everyone's making preparations or leaving the coast, looking to come to the middle of the state. Right now we have a situation where they say the storm should be hitting Thursday evening or Thursday night. Regina, what kind of preparations are being made in South Carolina?
We started evacuation. People started evacuating individually or on their own early this morning or late last night, evacuating the coast. And as of 3 o'clock today, lane closures and reverse the lanes on the highways. So you actually have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 lanes all coming north from the coast coming in. And that's from Charleston and Savannah's in Georgia, but a lot of people are coming up from Savannah, coming more inland, as you said.
Well, you know, this is, and you don't really know the impact that it has on you financially. I have to tell you that I work at a museum, and we were looking forward to having Garth Brooks here this weekend. He was going to be here Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He's going to give 4 concerts, and we were looking at earning $500 to $600 a day just in parking, and that would have been a tremendous assistance to the museum. But my word is that they've canceled all the concerts. They may leave the one open for Sunday. But that is just a tremendous hit in terms of revenue for the museum. And I'm sure that there are other restaurants and hotels and we're looking forward to that revenue from Garth Brooks being here in Orlando. Do you have any thoughts about revenues that are going to be lost as a result of this weekend being wiped out by the thought of Matthew coming through?
Yes, we've had a lot of things that have had to be canceled, a lot of walks. The thing, when you're talking about money and this storm, the thing that has hit me the most is the thoughts of people not being prepared to have to get in their cars, fill up a gas tank, and not fill up that gas tank to go to work, but fill up that gas tank to leave town. So then where do they stay? Have to pay for some place to stay. Have to pay for the food. Got to pay for the gas. You got to get supplies in order to board up your homes if you're leaving them on the coast. So not only are businesses suffering, but you have families who are suffering, who may just be living from paycheck to paycheck and don't have that extra to put out for a situation like this.
You're so right, because I know, you know, when you're talking about leaving to go inland, that may not just be one tank of gas, depending on what kind of vehicle you're driving. And then certainly, again, you have food at home that you're prepared to cook, but you can't just throw that in the back of your car and depend on it when it thaws out, or if it's all, you know, you don't have any refrigeration in your car. So it can be a very damaging situation to people economically. And you may not have, like you say, family that you can go live with somebody for free. And certainly the hotels are not going to be looking to reduce their room costs because of the storm. And then you're going to be stuck with trying to pay for that room rental as well as gas and food. So you're right, people living paycheck to paycheck might be forced to just remain where they are and bunker down.
Well, that's a dangerous thing. And our governor declared a state of emergency, and our schools were closed from, what's today, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, they are creating shelters. They use buses from the upstate, school buses, to go to Charleston to evacuate people. And they have provided shelters at the schools, having cooks in the schools to prepare meals for people who come in. So, you know, that's free. There's also a website, which I'm not sure of the link to it, but there is a website where people are offering rooms for free to people who need to come up, you know, private homes. So that does help economically a little bit. Well, a great bit.
You know, I have not heard of any school closures yet in the state of Florida. I'll have to listen to the local news to see if they're going to do that. They may be taking a wait-to-see position for in the morning, because, again, the storm is not supposed to hit until tomorrow afternoon. So they may be thinking that they could get through school and have it over by 3 before the storm arrives. But I have not heard of any school closures at this time. This will be, it has been a long time since we've had a direct hit, and so we're not really sure whether it will be skirting the state or give another direct hit in terms of its force. But I've heard the winds are over 100 miles an hour.
Well, I know we're like once bitten, twice shy. We had Hugo, and Hugo was following the same path as Matthew. And with that, it was tremendous devastation. Then we had, as a matter of fact, yesterday was the anniversary of the historic 1,000-year flood that we experienced last year. So we're definitely, you know, on pins and needles about this, because our ground is so saturated that it just, as I said yesterday, it just holds the water, and it floods so easily. So we're trying to be proactive instead of reactive.
Well, I just put a new roof on my house and did a lot of work. I'd hate for that all that work to be undone by Matthew, but I don't know exactly how far inland it will come. I do have a house surrounded by trees, and I'm concerned about some of my vehicles, whether or not these trees might fall on these vehicles. So I may have to move them into a safe area in my driveway to prevent any trees from falling on them, and hopefully no trees falling on the house. So it's amazing what you start to think about when you have faced with these storms and the tremendous winds that they bring with them, and the devastation that they can cause.
A lot of things start to come to mind that you really don't think about. You know, you're going to be displaced for a while, so do you have all your medications? Are you prepared to go and pay those copays at this time to get medications when they run out? You may have a medication that was going to run out on Thursday, and you get paid Friday to get it. Will you have the money?
Right.
To do it. So we're just praying for all situations, and God knows the needs of his people. So I think that everything will have a way of coming around.
Well, I think that Haiti, again, I hadn't heard any, you know, I was really afraid for Haiti because of some of the ways that the people were just getting back, the ways that some of their homes were built and on a side of a hill. And also with Cuba. And so I haven't heard anything disastrous yet. And so now it is, I think soon, by tomorrow morning, it'll be beyond Barbados, the Bahamas. And so, you know, hopefully it would come along. And, you know, I know that they said about 4 lives had been lost, which is really way lower than some of the expectations or some of the things that the professionals had said. So I hope that continues to be, we'll be more afraid than actually lives being lost, because, you know, it's just a horrible way for the devastation to take place. But I hope the people on the coast are, you know, decide to leave and not put their lives in jeopardy.
Well, I guess you would need to go to the internet or look at some of the nightly news to see how Haiti has been devastated. And folk are wondering who's going to help them. Where is the aid going to? When is the aid going to arrive in Haiti for their devastation?
But,
so it's on the news.
Well, I know they have already called and asked for assistance from the United States with some of the bridges that have gotten washed away and some of the roads that are separating towns and that kind of thing. And so hopefully the United States will be in a position to assist them because they really need, being one of the poorest nations in this hemisphere, they do need us to assist them with coming out of this situation.
Yes, they do.
Well, Regina, I want to thank you so much for being a Lone Ranger here with me today and helping me get through the show. It is greatly appreciated. And we know that we are here every day, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. and Saturday is at 8 p.m. to discuss the issues of the day and what's going on. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening and want to encourage you to call in 657-383-0309. Call in to Thoughts, Love, and Reflection and be given the opportunity to voice your opinion on what's going on. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and we hopefully there will be no outage of electricity so the show can go on. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Turn off the light, light a candle, tonight I'm in a romantic mood, yeah, let's take a shower, shower together, I'll wash your body, was mine, yeah. Something that I wanna do to you, I wanna do, I wanna.